Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Well, the Brewers resume their homestand tonight against the San Diego Padres after losing the opener to the Padres at American Family Field. Entertaining game. He was there. He was in the press box. He likely had some sort of ice cream treat, maybe some M&Ms around the fourth inning. It's Brewers.com, you know, beat writer Adam McKelvey. Hello, Adam.
You know me very well. I did have a little ice cream. Usually I just go for the toppings.
A little M&Ms on the ice cream. That sounds
well,
good.
Well, usually I just go for the M&Ms in a cup.
Oh.
Yeah, right. No need for the ice cream. It's just a vehicle, but you don't really need it. Last we talked to you, your mother was driving you to the ballpark in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Both of my parents, Bob and Rita McKelvey, and they were heroes. My dad was the hero because the way down, it was the eclipse day. So we had stop-and-go traffic for the entire state of Indiana.
Oh, man.
Which was, you know, that's a grind for that many hours, seven and a half hours or whatever it took us. And then the way back, we had rain. So, congrats. You know, Bob McKelvey was very kind. And it's like the first time since I was 14 that my parents drove me to the baseball field.
That's so nice, though. So you probably got to share some memories, tell some stories as you're going in those cornfields.
Yeah, and you guys know I went through this eye surgery thing and was sidelined for a while. And it was like a big deal to be back out on the road to work. And I told them I'm never going to forget that. That was an act of, you know, it was really nice to be back out on the road to work. It's a different vibe for us covering the team when it's a little quieter. You have more time in the clubhouse. It's good. Like it helps you do the job. So it was great.
Well, and you got a ham sandwich out of it too. We know, which is great. All the better. Well, glad you're back in at the ballparks, regardless of where they are in this country. I've been trying to figure out Pat Murphy's deal, right?
It just got like luck.
Trying to understand Pat is not an easy task, but I think that's okay. He's baseball through and through. But what I mean by this is, in this crazy world of analytics that, you know, sports has become, it felt like Craig was very much a, here's what the numbers say. We go to a lefty here. We go to a righty here. We make this move here. We don't do this here. We do this here. Sometimes I feel like Pat's like, now I'm just going to go off my gut. This is what I want to do here. Forget about what the numbers say. This is just what I want to do here. Am I reading that wrong?
No, and I think the example of that early on was as they were setting lineups, Quentin Berry, the first base coach, one day they had Sal Frelick in the top spot, and Sal's gotten off to a slower start than he wants at the plate. And Quentin Berry said to Pat Murphy, hey, have you thought about, you know, maybe taking a little off Sal, just a little off his plate? You could drop him down and move this kid Oliver Dunn, who's been off to a great start offensively, up to the leadoff hole. And, you know, in an analytical era, the lineups often do come from the front office. I mean, it's a suggestion in air quotes, but I mean, they have all the numbers to determine the best matchups and the best order. But in this case, Pat Murphy said, you know what, that's a good idea. Let's do that. And they did. And on that particular night, it worked out like perfectly, where Dunn gets on, Frelick drives in some runs, and it all worked out beautifully. So it was a little bit of a feel, a little old school feel. I still think decisions are made based on the numbers in baseball because it's such a long sport. It's such a, there's so much data to be input. So it makes sense to use less gut, more data. But Pat Murphy, he showed that he does have an opening for some heart in the game too, which is cool.
What's the latest on Christian Yelich's back injury? Because we had such a great start here. And then all of a sudden, and Christian, I mean, he was doing awesome because he had some great years, and then he kind of had some down years, and here we thought, okay, this is going to be our year again. Christian is hot, and now this back injury, so people are worried.
Yeah, look, there's experience here. This is his seventh season with the Brewers. It seems to me like he gets one of these every year where the back flares up, and this goes back to the Marlins days. It usually happens early. They usually catch it early, and now they've developed all these ways to get him through it, and it often does involve an IL stint. Most of the years, it's not been a long stint, so they've pushed this decision as far as they can. Today, they have to make the call because there's rules that you can backdate the move and limit the amount of time he'll miss. So I think today's the day they'll make the decision. And I think they probably will err on the side of an IL stint because it makes sense to miss another week or so. And with the idea of having a full season, because he was off to a really impactful start.
Yeah.
Swinging the bat well. And he's done so much work, even as a veteran player and an MVP, to get back to, not necessarily get back to the MVP form, but just get back to driving the ball in the air. Because when that happens, good results follow. So he worked really hard, and it you know, it's a bummer that it happens, that it gets interrupted. But I think history says this was going to happen at some point, and maybe this is the opportunity to knock it out early and get well, and then hopefully have a healthy rest of the year.
I'm sure the clubhouse vibes are great right now, Adam, and why wouldn't they be? The team is, you know, first place team. They're off to a good start. Contributions all over the place. But you know as well as I do that this league punches back,
mm-hmm.
right? When one team punches, when one player punches, they usually get hit back some way. And with the amount of younger players on the team, I'm wondering if that tempers expectations at all. Like, we know it's coming. We just have to ride this out. It's a grind. 10-6 is a great start, but there's correction that happens in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and we're going to learn what these players are like when those times come, because surely they will. And when you have young players on the offensive side, Christian Yelich pointed out that they went through this when he first came to the Brewers. They had all these young pitchers come up. Remember, Woodruff in relief, Burns the reliever, Freddy Peralta. Before they were great starters, they kind of came up and dipped their toes as relievers, and there was this wave of pitching that carried them through this spot where they've made the playoffs 5 or 6 years. Now it's happening with hitters, and it's a little different animal because that's an everyday thing. And the load that's put on those guys is a little heavier because they got to go out and do it every day if they're in the lineup. And we will learn throughout the course of the season, Pat Murphy has said this, how those players respond to those downtimes that surely come. And it's going to be really interesting, and it's going to be a time for, like, Christian Yelich to help guys through. Willy Adames is so important for Jackson Churio and some of the young Latin American players. Those leaders, William Contreras is only 25, 26 years old, but he's one of those, you know, veteran types too. They're going to lean on those players to help the young guys through this. And it's going to, we don't know right now how that's going to go. I'll tell you, the vibes are, it's a pretty chill clubhouse. And when you win, it's chill, right? It's fun. But it is maybe the personalities in there are, they seem like a club that's suited for when those times come. We'll see.
I want to ask you about this. We're having Prince Fielder on later this week.
Yeah,
he's being
nice.
Inducted into the Wisconsin Hall of Fame, the Athletic Hall of Fame. Best thing you got from Prince, best story, best memory from Prince Fielder as a member of the Milwaukee Brewers?
Well, you can ask him if this is true, if you dare. But when I was working on the 50th anniversary book a couple years ago, I remember talking to some of the guys like J.J. Hardy and Corey Hart. And I forget which one told me, but there was one spring where they were all, you know, young, in the big leagues, having fun in spring training, and they would play home run derby and batting practice. And when Prince had his vegetarian phase, which was, I think,
just
pretty,
a phase,
kind of short lived.
Again, I don't want to get up. I don't want to be on Prince's bad side. I don't want to say anything. I think it was pretty brief. I think it got a lot more press than it actually lived in reality. But there was a spring where he was not eating meat, and he was hitting wall scrapers while they were doing home run derby. And he got, you know, he's a competitive dude. So he got really mad. And one of these players swears this happened. I think Ricky or, man, I think Prince has told me this is not true. But anyway, it's a good story. They say he was sitting there eating his salad at the clubhouse table, but on his lap, he had a plate of chicken wings.
Oh, you're kidding.
And he would, like, dip under when no one was looking.
Oh,
and he'd, like,
gosh.
You know, grab a, do the old, the pull on the flat, you know, the whole one swipe pull. And then he started hitting homers again, so.
Oh my God.
It's a great, it's too good a story to not be true.
I will ask him if it's true or not. I'll tribute
to Do not attribute it to me. Say Ricky said it. You're not going to mess with Ricky Weeks.
Good point.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, I don't want to put you on the spot in case you don't know, but I do want to ask you this in case you do, because I see it's some breaking news right now. The former Brewers shortstop arrested in Florida accused an insurance fraud scheme, Unesky Bentecourt.
Well, I certainly remember Unesky Bettencourt, but you're breaking news for me as well.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll take a peek at this, but I guess Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting this right now. Former Milwaukee Brewer shortstop Unesky Bentecourt, a star for Milwaukee in the 2011 postseason, among four people arrested and charged with insurance fraud in Miami-Dade County, accused of staging an accident that enabled him to collect insurance payments. What do you remember about the guy from the 2011 postseason?
Well, in this context, it's hard to say something great, but,
right.
You know, he didn't always field the ball cleanly, but he was, you know, people, the fans probably remember him as part of the Zach Greinke trade. When the Brewers got Greinke, they got Bettencourt in that trade, and they parted with a ton of prospects. So Doug Melvin thought it was important to get a piece beyond Greinke, and they had an opening at shortstop, so it became Uni.
He is the best in the business. Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com writer, MLB.com. Good to see you.
Yeah, of course. It's good to be in person. I was having lunch at the Market Hall. You guys have a great food options right outside your window.
I know. It can be dangerous. Yummy. It's delicious at the same time. Appreciate it, man. We'll see you at the ballpark.
All right. See ya.
11:47 on WTMJ.